loved Home Assembly. And she told her family about our church, our congregation. And there was a great number of family and friends who were here. I mean, almost this entire section and almost that entire section with family and friends. And it did something to my heart that, I'm just going to be honest, that more of us were not here. I'm just going to say it. That did something to my heart. So as I was thinking about what to share today, as I was praying and as I was looking in the scriptures, God dropped this thought in my heart, the love challenge. Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 33, beginning at verse 33. I have the AMPC version, and this is a familiar passage of scripture to some of us. This is talks about the Good Samaritan. Talks about how a certain man was on his journey and he got robbed. And not only did he get robbed, he got beat. And he was beaten almost to death. And Jesus, in relating this event, said that a priest saw him lying on the road, and the priest passed by. And a Levite came and saw him half dead, lying on the road, and the Levite passed by. But a certain Samaritan, the kind of person that the Jews would call dogs, the kind of person that the Jewish, the religious people, the priests, and even the Levites may have looked down their nose upon, saw this man, didn't know him, saw this man on the road. And here we take this up, what happened in verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he traveled along, came down to where he was. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity and sympathy for him. And, 34, and went to him and dressed his wounds, pouring on them oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. See this man going out of his way to help a stranger. You see that? Now, verse 35 says, and the next day he took out 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I myself will repay you when I return. Then Jesus asks a question in this 36th verse. Which of these three do you think proved himself a neighbor to him who fell among the robbers? He answered, the one who showed pity and mercy to him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. It's interesting to see the love and concern that this Samaritan had for a stranger. He didn't just feel for him, he actually did something. He took the time to divert himself from his agenda, from whatever he had planned to do. And because he was moved with sympathy and pity, he went to the man. He dressed his wounds with oil and wine, set him on his own beast, right? Took him to an inn to take care of him. So he went out of his way. I'm sure when he set out from home, he didn't anticipate running into this man on the road. But when the situation presented itself to him, he immediately went into action. I wonder how many of us would operate in the same way for someone that we don't know. But what was painfully obvious to me on Thursday was, we know Sister Martha. But maybe we had things on our agenda. Maybe we had things that were personally important to us to take care of. Maybe because she didn't, quote unquote, hold a certain position in the congregation, some of us might have looked at it maybe kind of like as not necessary or not important. That's the wrong attitude to have. If that was your loved one, or if that was someone that you hold in high esteem in our congregation, I dare to say you'd have took off from work. You'd have rearranged your schedule. You'd have put certain things on hold. And you'd have been here to show your respects. But one thing we have to be reminded of is that there is no respect of person with God. There's no respect of person with God. So this is a love challenge. This is an opportunity for us not to ever let this happen again. It bothered me, and it bothers me, because God has shed his love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And the very people in our human reasoning that we think are of less value. And see, that's a crazy thought right there. Because when Jesus went to the cross, he went to the cross for all of us. Huh? The same blood that he shed for you, he shed it for everybody. And then what maybe messes with our minds, sometimes we put certain value on certain people. That's the wrong thing to do. That's the wrong thing to do. Because there's going to be a time when you may be laid out here. There's going to be a time when your loved one may be laid out here. And you're going to want your church family to rally behind you. And the way that I look at it, this was an opportune time for witnessing. This was an opportune time, especially for cross-cultural witnessing. And for the most part, we missed it. But guess what? God's going to give us other opportunities. He will. But I felt that it was my responsibility to bring it to our attention as a congregation. We have to love one another. We can't esteem one member higher than another. We can't do that. We have to break away from the world's mindset. right? We have to break away from the world's mindset, because the mindset of the world is encroaching into the church. And if we're not careful, well, who is so-and-so? Do I know them? We're a child of God in the kingdom of God. So we should be in full force and full effect to celebrate the life of a child of God. That's how I looked at it. And I believe that's the heart of God. I really do. I really believe that's the heart of God. That's why I'm talking to you. And God expects us to do better. And he's going to give us opportunities to do better. Huh? The very ones who we may overlook, huh? They're going to get a crown, just like we're expecting to get a crown. Right? So there should be no factions in the church. There should be no schisms in the body. It cost this man money. Well, I got to go to work. It cost this man, this certain Samaritan, it cost him money. He spent his own money, 2 days' wages, to take care of this man. And then he said, when I get back, if there's anything else, I'll pay that too. Walk with me to John. I'm almost done, believe it or not, because I don't want to overload you. I want you to think about this. Think about this love challenge. Huh? Think about it. And we're going to be challenged maybe even before we leave here. Huh? John chapter number 13. And I'll just say, don't come up to me afterwards with any explanations. You weren't here. You weren't here. Forgetting those things that are behind, let's just go forward. Huh? Let's just go forward. Because I don't want the explanations. That's how I feel. I'm sharing my heart. And I believe it's the heart of God too. God wants us to love one another. All right, John 13. He wants that love to be in action. John 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. See that? Not just the ones you like. Not just the ones who sit in your section. Not just the ones who's in the choir or whatever ministry that you're in. He said, love one another. See that? Let's move quickly to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So this is a love challenge to all of us. A love challenge to all of us. Romans chapter 12, verse number 10. We're going to get out real early. Yes, we are. But we'll be still going to have to face a love challenge. A love challenge. Romans chapter 12, verse number 10. Someone asked me earlier this week, what you going to preach about? I said, I don't know. Because right then I didn't know. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it's early, sometimes it's not that early. That the thought, God plants the thought and it germinates, and I read and I pray, but this is what God wants us to hear today. Romans 12 and 10, here's what Paul writes. He says, love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family. See, we got to get that. We're members of one family. So if one person hurts, we all hurt. All right? Giving precedence and showing honor to one another. So that means that my agenda, when a family member is hurt, my agenda does not take precedence. When a family member is suffering, my agenda or my to-do list does not take precedence. I have to have the concern for my brother or my sister. All right? Okay. I think we get the message, don't we? All right. All right, but we got some more scripture to back it up. Okay? Let's go to James chapter number 2. This will be our last portion of scripture. We'll read this. We might make a few comments, and then we'll let you go. But I want this to travel with us. I want us to take this with us, that every day we face a love challenge. All right? Here's James now. Watch this. Here's James. Okay? And we're in chapter 2. Now, if you notice something before we get there, you notice the church unity prayer that we pray. There's a certain portion that says that we're asking God to have our hearts ready and open to welcome some. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Just the people who present themselves in a manner that doesn't cause us, you know, to kind of, oh, wait a minute, do a retake. All, right? So let's see what James is saying here now in the second chapter of James, beginning at verse number 1. All right? Here we have, it says, my brethren, pay no servile regard to people. Show no prejudice nor partiality. Why would God put that in the Bible? Do not attempt to hold and practice the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, together with, what's that word? Snobbery. Lord, have mercy. Huh? You see that? Snobbery. Well, I don't know them. I've got that. Okay. Be careful. But I'm saved. I'm sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven, enjoying the trip. Yeah? But are you a snob in your actions? Or are you going to snub one of your brothers and sisters? Watch. James goes a little further. For if a person comes into your congregation whose hands are adorned with gold rings and who is wearing splendid apparel, and also a poor man in shabby clothes come in, and you pay special attention to the one who wears the splendid clothes and say to him, sit here in this preferable seat, while you tell the poor man, stand there or sit there on the floor at my feet. You see that? Are you not discriminating among your own and becoming critics and judges with wrong motives? Dare I say that that may be where some of us have been in our minds? Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and in their position as believers to inherit the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? See, so God doesn't look at things the way we look at things. Huh? Just because a person is just in the congregation, is quiet, and they may not, you know, be the most vocal person, or they may not be on the committee that gets stuff done, but they come faithfully, they love the Lord, they witness to their families, they try to live a godly life. Are we the ones, who are we to look down? James said, don't do that. So we have a love challenge. God's given us an opportunity from this day forward to meet the love challenge. The people who are the lowest esteemed in the congregation should have the highest honor. Should have the highest honor. So who's going to take the love challenge? Who's going to take the love challenge? Amen? That's it. That's all. Very simple. No fanfare, no puffery, This is straight from the heart, I believe, of the Lord to us. Will you accept the love challenge? Scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. With just those words alone, as recorded in Scripture, that's enough for a person to make up their mind to receive salvation. So if you're here this morning and you've never repented of your sins, you've never been baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you haven't received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost with the initial sign of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance, we invite you to come. Jesus was challenged when he went to that Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed hard that the cup that he had to drink could pass, but he resolved himself and said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." So if you're here this morning, and you want to receive biblical salvation, God's here for you. He's here for you. We had to make that initial appeal. Now, for those in the house who will acknowledge that this challenge has resonated with you as an individual, and you need prayer support that you will be able to meet this challenge on a consistent basis, you come and get prayer. Come on. Don't worry about who's looking. Don't worry about who's here. Don't worry about who's not here. The altar is for saints as well as for sinners who've yet to become saints. You have to meet the love challenge. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So ever believeth on him should not perish, but they shall. Thank you, Jesus. There's still time. Who's going to meet the challenge? Who's going to meet the love challenge? To love one another as God has loved us. To let love be without condition. To let love go past your requirements of what you think should happen or how a person should be. Scripture says love covers a multitude of sin.
Not perished, but they shall. God, so loved.